that. It's because none of us talk about death.
There you go.
That's why.
Yeah. How do we overcome that?
We just talk about it.
Well, I think that's great. I mean,
just give it a go. Just give it a. Just start on it. I really, really like doing it before, while we're still healthy,
mm-hmm.
and you just incorporate it in your ethos around the way you live your life.
So can I throw this one at you? We all fight about wills because no one wants to talk about wills while they're alive, and then no one wants to talk about wills once they're dead, and it will cause us fights both times. So you might as well have it while you're alive.
Yeah.
Get it sorted.
What I'm talking about is that wills are a beautiful, perfect example of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a self-fulfilling prophecy is where you hold a false belief,
yep.
and then you accidentally do things because you want to prove yourself right. The belief was false to start with, but you do things that tend to lead you toward that outcome. A great example is a person that's feeling insecure in their relationship and they assume that their partner is going to cheat on them. So
okay.
That's a self-fulfilling...
Have you come across that?
That's just a lovely, beautiful, non-death example
okay.
of what is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your partner is not a cheater, never was, until you started doing things. For one thing, your personality changed and made yourself ugly and they cheated on you. So they were never going to cheat until you led them toward wanting to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's you planted the seed over and over again mm-hmm. or by assuming that they're a cheater, when you tell someone they're rubbish, they behave rubbish. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So back to death and about wills.
Yep.
I believe that it's a perfect storm as far as self-fulfilling prophecies. We think that our kids are going to rip us off. We think our kids are cheats. We think mm-hmm. our kids fight. They were born fighting. They keep fighting.
Yep.
Our kids are going to fight. So we treat our finances and our estate planning in the same way. We assume our children are going to fight. So then we naturally accidentally do things to help create that perfect storm. We think our children are going to fight, therefore we don't talk to them about it. We know that it's going to be a tough conversation, so we don't have it before we're dead. Yeah, so what we accidentally do is by not talking about it, it's the number one reason why there's a dispute after your death. So that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What I'm saying is, you think your children are going to argue, so you don't talk to them beforehand because you don't want them to argue.
Yep.
Then you die.
Yep.
And then they suddenly get to see your will, surprise, and they argue.
Yep.
So you're in your grave going, see, I was right.
Ringing the bell.
Yeah. So we are banging on about reading the will before your death because talking about anything is planning, is prepping.
Now, if somebody needs a hand with doing something like that, they can talk to you about that, can't they?
Yes, I do it on the regular.
Yeah.
Yes.
So someone looking at it going, look, I'm listening to Fiona, I'd really love to do this, but I don't have a clue how to do it. They could touch base with you and organise, you'd actually be the mediator.
Yes.
At a will reading.
Yeah, that's okay. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, there's, and about that, yeah. No, that the answer to that is yes, because I'm really good at talking.
Okay. All right, let's go to a tune, a song, The Cruel Sea, Seems Twice, and when we come back I'll ask a few more questions about relying on the self-fulfilling prophecy. I also want to talk about the will being a living document, which kind of sounds a bit dumb seeing we're talking about death, but we'll come back to that on hillsradio.com.au.
Hey, I'm Fiona Shilton, your estate lawyer. Are you planning to die? You can join me Thursday mornings from 9 a.m. with Crash Carpenter, where we discuss organising and cleaning up our own mess. Don't be scared of death. We're all human and we're all going to die at some stage. So why do we make it so hard on those that we're going to leave behind? Just one of the many topics we cover each week on Hills Radio. Want to know more? Check out my website, yourestatelawyer.com.au, or call me 83125970. That's with me, Fiona Shilton, your estate lawyer, 9 a.m. on Thursdays.
That'll be now. And it's funny, isn't it, when you're sitting here and someone's saying, I don't sound that bad, do I? And you don't sound that bad. You sound great.
I'm just glad I don't have to say my phone number now.
What's the go with this, you know, the will is a living document, isn't it? Even though it's designed to handle your death, it should be considered a living document constantly being looked at. And yet, as you've said, you do it the once and you file a thing away and forget about it.
Yeah.
No,
that's, yeah, so I call it a living document because it needs to match your life just in case, you know, just in case. Because we're not all lucky enough to live until our very old, really, really old, and then our life naturally winding down. Yeah, that's only for the select few. So we always need to make sure that what does it look like after our death document is up to date, and that's me.
You've mentioned about getting people to see the will, not just the people that write it, but members of the family. What do you do with that? Do you let everyone know and then just send them an email going, hey, guys, I'm just letting you know, here's my will.
Well, guess,
have a look.
Yeah, actually about that. So my strong-willed people, the ones that are my converts.
Is that a play on words, strong-willed?
Yeah, all my strong-willed people that are part of the movement, I sent them an email yesterday and letting them just putting a bomb under them, asking if they'd let their executors know and giving them a template just in case they didn't know how to start the conversation. So I have three different ways of attacking chats about estate planning. Number one is, but not, this isn't, number one is asking your family for their opinion before you start, especially if you have a family business or if you have large land holdings, like you own lots of bits, different pieces of land, and you're expecting or thinking that some family members will want certain items. So the way we transfer your assets upon your death requires a bit of teamwork, a bit of cooperation before we draft the will. So my point is, sometimes family members are involved in the actual planning. Second option is, after on the day of signing, sometimes, if not within the week or so of actually, you guys make your own decisions, you sign your wills. This is the way 90% of us do it. It's your business how you want to do it, with legal guidance, advice from me about the consequences of it. We decide together, and then after you've signed it, I'm there to help you talk about it. Talk about the reasons why and how and all of that. And that opens up just a natural chat about generally what if I'm there for 2 hours, half an hour we'll be talking about the actual funeral. That's quite a visceral, like it's such an important issue, life around, a life event, yeah, is the funeral. But then that just gets the conversation going. And then the other option is sometimes I just email it out or post it out with a note from, you post it to them and say, got any questions? Give us your questions and then we'll all catch up together as a group. Because depending on the questions, whether we need the accountant there or a lawyer to define the language, yeah. But, yeah, really, they're the three different ways that I naturally or think about doing or suggest to my people. But you can do it however you want.
Okay.
You could put it at the front door with your visitor book, copy of your will.
Right.
Leave it on your kitchen bench. I have this beautiful, lovely, water-resistant navy folder that your will copy of your will stays in. So just leave it on your kitchen bench.
That sounds like you can actually turn it into a... conversation starter. Now, how cool would that be?
Well, that's the whole idea. Like I said to start with, I'm banging on about talking about your will and your estate plans before your death because it's the lack of communication that makes lawyers lots of money afterwards.
You've said to me that you can actually bring the will out at Christmas time after you've handed out the bonbons as a bit of a surprise. Go, hey, look what we're going to talk about. Well, the first thing they probably go is, oh, geez, you're a downer with this sort of stuff. And then in reality it's like, no, I'm not a downer at all.
No, it's actually the opposite. I think we we in our minds say to ourselves, oh, they don't want to talk about that. This is the self-fulfilling prophecy stuff. We're expecting the other people to behave a certain way. But it actually really, it's our own fear of thinking about our own death that stops us from bringing the conversation up. Because it is, it's a tough one. But guess what's tougher? You know, everybody else scrambling because they have no effing idea.
Effing.
No Fiona idea. No idea.
Yep. And oh, yeah, Fiona idea. Good.
No,
yep.
Yeah, well, no, that's the other F word, is it? Yeah, it's, and guess what? The no effing idea, that's the usual way. That's the usual way that we're all dealing with death. And when we have no effing idea, we fight amongst ourselves, we all get lawyers, and none of us actually talk about it with anyone else in the community because we're covered in fear and shame. So this just continues. It's called it's a causal loop. It's around the self-fulfilling prophecy. Because it all loops back. Because when you've had a crappy experience following the death of someone that you loved, you may, if you can't break the loop, you're going to assume that your children are going to behave the same way.
And they will.
Well, they will if you treat them the same way.
Yeah.
And if you treat death and wills and estate planning the same way. Oh, ta-da, self-fulfilling prophecy.
You know, in years to come, Fiona, very much people look at you and go, you were the trendsetter. You were the one that changed people's perceptions, just like all sorts of things that are happening in the world at the moment where everyone's equal. You're doing the same thing with death where you go, look, it's not a topic to shy away from. It's a topic to embrace and understand, and it's part of life.
Yeah.
How's that for profound?
That's lovely.
Thanks.
You used the word trendsetter, though. That's a bit 80s. A bit 80s, mate.
She's going to go.
Trendsetter. Oh, hashtag. I'm a hashtag that. Hashtag trendsetter. I've got black glittery pants on today. I'm setting that trend too.
And here's a song from Blackstone from the Sun, Death, Threats and Cigarettes. You're listening to Hills Radio.
Cigarettes are a death threat.
They are indeed. Your estate lawyer, Fiona Shilton, on hillsradio.com.au. If you ever want a question, flick it through to info@hillsradio or go direct to the source, hello@yourestatelawyer.com.au.
Not
Hills
tomato
Radio.
Sauce, though.
Not tomato sauce. Hills Radio, the voice of the Adelaide Hills. And you're listening to hillsradio.com.au. Special guest today, of course, as always, on a Thursday morning, Fiona Shilton from Your Estate Lawyer. Fiona, we're just going through a couple of questions here, and, of course, one of the favourites. At the meeting, most families talk about the ins and outs of funeral arrangements. That's not the only thing they should be talking about, surely.
Well, it seems to be. I'm not surprised because your death is always going to be sudden, and then we all have to get into event planning mode. Like, what the heck? And the ridiculous number of decisions that need to be made on behalf of the dead person immediately following their death. It is overwhelming as heck, and generally the motivators. This is all my observation around this, but we're really, really keen to do what the dead person wanted. So often what we usually have to do is fly blind.
Yep.
We haven't had the chat. And so any information you've put together about what you'd like that to look like is really, really valuable and important. And the other thing is I'm not surprised because that event, just like we've talked about this before, the wedding, the baptism, the other events, Christmas with the bonbons, fights, mate. We're highly anxious, fearful, sad. We behave badly. We're not the best versions of ourselves. We're surrounded by people that we have very long histories with, and it's gloves off, game on.
Yeah, really in fight and flight mode.
Yeah, so talking about that event beforehand with the star of the show is really important. And you've mentioned, because you've prompted, like, even if you've said, oh, let's catch up, we're going to talk about our wills, your family will be like, yeah, cool, no worries. They'll rock up. They actually haven't thought about it. They haven't thought it through that the will means that you might die. Excuse me. And funerals is the first thing. Excuse me. Sorry, everyone. I'm dying.
Have a slurp of your sacred Coca-Cola.
So funerals, I'm really pleased that people get some of that chat on the go, because it's one less thing like they'll have to worry about later. And then the other stuff. So my point was that people tend to talk about all the heart stuff. Heart. It'll be
emotion.
Who's going to take care of my dog? And we talk, and they'll talk about that for a long time.
That's really important to a lot of people.
It is, but it is. Exactly. It actually is. Mm. And also, and obviously, like, taking care of our kids.
Second. Yep.
Yeah. And then where are the keys kept for the old Holden in the shed? All those sorts of things. Like, it's that. And then slowly but surely you eventually. My experience is nobody is worried about how much money we're going to get after you're dead. That's never the chat. It's always.
Really?
It's never that. Mm. It's never that, because people just take it for granted that whatever's left over will be divvied up. How you choose to divvy it up, that's something to talk about. That, in my experience, is not the argument. What the high stress stuff is about, whether you want to be buried or cremated, whether you want a viewing, which funeral, which cemetery, what tree do you want to be buried under, all that sort of stuff, whether or not you want the CWA doing their sandwiches or whether you want it private. It's that stuff, and it brings up all emotions from the last funeral you've been to. But it's a beautiful opportunity to talk about what would I want, and everybody gets to hear it. So later on, people are geared up, talking about pets, kids, and then the very, very precious family heirlooms. Things like grandma's wedding ring, all that type of stuff, which generally don't hold any financial value. But it's just as a family talking about how those heirlooms are going to be passed down to the next generations to continue the connection of that family, whatever you call it, lineage or whatever it's called. That is really important to people. So I find these chats, reading the will before your death, extremely valuable and important, and a team building exercise. And for me as an outsider, I can work out, I can see who's the leader under stress, who is aligned with you as far as decision-making principles, and I might even touch base with you after going, what I just saw here, that person crumbles under pressure. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to put that person as your executor? you saw how I can see the dynamics. So it's not legal advice, but executors not doing their job properly is a huge expense to the estate.
Last week we mentioned excluding somebody out of your will. And I just wondering if you can just briefly, because this is a good time while you're talking about the will, why should someone not be excluded out of a will, but at least included, but maybe not as much, or get whatever you thought they should get? What's your take on that again?
When we're talking about excluding, that means that the starting place is that the law says they need to be included. So that's the first thing. I'm not talking about excluding your neighbour. Because
no,
they
about,
weren't in the team to
you're
start.
You're talking about blood.
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, so if you are looking at leaving a child out of your will, then what was the question? Why don't do it?
Yeah, don't do
Why
it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because the law supports that person has a really strong claim on your estate.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find interesting is that generally the reasons you don't like that person will be reasons why the judge will sympathise and give them a share of the estate. I have some my take on wills being used to remind a person that they're not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting, that that the that you want to, after your death, make sure that that person knows that they're not welcome, that they don't get a share, but the other children do.
Okay.
I wish that we didn't use wills for that,
mm-hmm.
because lawyers make lots of money out of that dispute.
This is your vendetta that you've gone to the grave with for someone else to have to deal with.
Yeah, and the legislation supports the child. So the way deceased estate disputes work is that person gets a lawyer, makes a claim against the estate, and they will get a share. It's very, I'd like to say it's very rare. It's rare for a child not to get a share. The lawyer definitely gets, and even if that person share is used up in legal fees. So that's still money taken out of your parents' estate or whatever you want to, like, yeah, assuming it's your parents. If you're the executor, you've got the parents' estate that you're about to divvy out to the other children and one child that got left out. So the reasons why I say don't do it is a ridiculous, if the child that's been left out goes to a lawyer, not yep. all children do,
no.
but I of course get to see all the times that they do. So if that child makes a claim against your estate, they will be successful. There'll be a huge expense to the estate, like money-wise. Your laundry, your family history, your all the dramas, the reasons why, are written, and if it gets all the way to a trial, is aired, everyone gets to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're leaving the children that you favour to fight your battle. Yeah, so you're not here anymore and they're going to stick up for you after your death, and that's going to cost lots of money. So, I have lots and lots of, that's a whole topic because it's the Fiona's view, not the proper.
It's a big one.
It's a big one because the reason why, I keep saying the reason why, I did a lot of family law. And family law is generally disputes. If you need a lawyer, family law is disputes,
mm-hmm.
and you've got one on each side. So a lawyer advocating for the one parent and the other lawyer advocating for the other parent. So family law, everybody's still alive, and we're talking about how we feel about what's best for the children, okay? Deceased estate disputes are exactly the same, except the star of the show is dead, and it's family law on steroids is deceased estates. And one of the main reasons why is in family law, the parents are spending their own money. In disputes to do with wills, you're spending the will maker's money. So you're not even using your own money yet. So it's a breeding ground. It's great fun. It's great fun in a not fun way.
You're listening to Fiona Shield and she's on fire today. Your Estate Lawyer is the name of a business, and if you do have a question, just flick her an email, hello@yourestatelawyer.com.au, or you can check her out on Facebook. Here's a tune from the Eurythmics as we go to a break, and when we come back, I've got just a couple of last little questions I'd like to ask Fiona, possibly on reading the wills and how we get into making this reading the will beforehand. How do we make it happen? Here's the Eurythmics and It's All Right, Baby's Coming Back. Hillsradio.com.au. Speaking of break in the weather, we're going to break it right now because you are listening to Fiona Shilton and me, Crash Carpenter, here at hillsradio.com.au. It's 10 minutes to 10, and in this final part of the show, the thing I wanted to mention again is, how do you organise this get together to talk about your will and do it?
You just do it.
You just do it.
You do it.
People are going to think you're a little weird. Oh, we're having a will reading party this weekend. I'm not dead.
Well, it's,
and I'm not even sick. But
it's Halloween's coming up. Could always do a day.
Hey, that's very clever.
Of course,
like
it is.
A Day of the Dead type thing.
Well, that's a different day. Yeah, that's right. But there are 2 days of the year
mm-hmm.
we do that
mm-hmm.
now. Just give me another one. And also talking about about excluding people. That's an even if we if We've talked about it, decided that's what you want to do. It's a lot of risk analysis around that. Depends on the size of your estate, depends on the number of other beneficiaries, what those beneficiaries' needs are, and the story about why you want to exclude someone. Once we've done all that and decided, yep, and we've hedged our bets, gone, yep, well, okay, let's give it a crack, I push on you as a will maker to definitely read the will with the rest of your beneficiaries and the executor before your death, because they're the players. They're the ones that are going to actually have to stand by this will after you're gone. And strategizing and talking about the whys and the hows and all that, especially with me there to help, and you get to hear it straight from the will maker's mouth, what's important and what's not when and if a claim is made against your will maker's estate. So reading the will before your death is really important, because it's a document that speaks for you when you're not here anymore. That's why we're holding the event. I also think it's a great idea doing it, because it's a team building exercise. Even if you're getting a, even if as a family you need to get a bit of shit off your liver, I'd rather do it while we're still alive. Have a crack. Can't be any worse than my Christmas days. Have a crack, because but my experience is if you don't have a crack at getting some of that shit off your liver, talking about your estate plans and what it says in your will, if you don't do that, it's a massive event after your death. Lawyers make a lot of money out of it, and there's a lot of fear and shame attached. The other comment I want to say about excluding someone, I quite commonly often say, if how much do you love and respect and all the things your other beneficiaries, and weigh that up against how much that one child has disappointed you. And sometimes you've got to weigh that up. You have to weigh that up, because you're dead. That means you're finished with your assets. You don't need them anymore. You don't. So once you're, especially if you're the last spouse, if you're finished with the assets, weigh up how much you love your beneficiaries and how much that one has disappointed you. And sometimes it's best to include that person, the one that's disappointed you, because you love your other beneficiaries, and your death should not mark the one big last hurrah sibling rivalry argument with everyone's got lawyers and swords and gloves and bringing out all the times that I was a better child than the excluded one. So